Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We don't always swear, but when we do, it's on podcasts. Please listen responsibly.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Marjorie.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
Today we're reading chapter 18 of Battle Magic.
So grab a cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's get stabbed in the leg.
Yeah.
Or, alternatively, ride the biggest yak you've ever seen.
I think I like that one better.
So Evie and Luvo and Big Milk are traveling under the Namruga Plain between the Temples of Tigers and the town of Melanam. They're traveling. She's kind of obviously PTSD'd, and she sees these weird stick horse bird things, and she freaks the fuck out, as most humans probably would. Luvo tells her, hey, quit screaming at them. They live here. This is their place after all. And she's like, this place fucking sucks. I want to get out of here. All of this country's weird, frankly, as she speaks to a talking, walking stone gummy bear. Then we go back to Briar and Rosethorn at the camp. Briar feels like shit because he fought and he healed people after the battle. And he's like, oh, I thought people just could only healed or only fought during battles because that's all they had the talent for. And he thought he could do it, but clearly it's bad. It's kind of hard to do both. He's fucking exhausted. Also, Rosethorn sleeps with Parahan, which is fine, I guess. Briar feels weird about it. I felt a little weird about it. But apparently Lark and Rosethorn have their own thing. So it works out. It's so funny. I'm definitely going to get into that later, though.
I've been very excited about that part coming up.
Yeah. Yang Jingyi scouts show up and then there's a big fight. Briar and Rosethorn decide that because of the lay of the land, they can't really fight very effectively, so they go back to try and heal. They do so. Briar sees some magic on the horizon. He's like, whoa, that's weird. I'm going to go check that out and make sure it's nothing bad. So he goes out and Rosethorn's like, oh, okay. All right. Fine. He's an adult. Let him make his own choices. She ends up healing people for like all day. Then Briar comes back screaming because he got stabbed in the fucking leg, and she feels awful and it's all awful, but she faces him up and he's fine, and then he wakes up the next day and everything's okay.
And then I believe it ends with Evie coming out of the ground on a
Evie
yak.
Erupting from the ground on the biggest yak you've ever fucking seen. And then Luvo talks to him and is like, hey, we're friendly, please don't shoot us, we're here to help. The yak turns away back to the fields, and he's like, God, I wish I were that yak. I wish I could just
That's
leave. I don't want to deal with this. Then Briar wakes up, tries to explain to Parahan what was like happening and stuff, but he is very sleepy and injured and trying to feel better.
Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter.
She screamed. So did the creature. Just the Evie and the horse. The
bird.
horse bird just staring at each other and screaming for some reason is just hilarious.
Hilarious.
Me.
Hilarious.
Farahan being like, okay, you either gotta fight or heal people. You can't do both. Come on now, make a decision. Just essentially being like, hey, buddy,
You're doing too much.
you're doing too much. We can do things better than that. And then Sada immediately being like, oh, he's a man, all right. Like, we're better than that. We could do more than that. Well,
It was a thought experiment going around fairly recently of like 80% of men think they can take a bear in a fight.
which is ridiculous. They
Yeah.
cannot. 100% of men will probably die.
But the amount of men who overestimate their capabilities is pretty fucking high.
Yeah.
Now, I do just want to clarify because we had the discussion in game group last weekend
Did.
of me against a hyena. A hyena is much easier to take out than a bear, and I would totally body a single hyena in combat.
Holly, Rose, Thorn, and Lark. That was kind of a surprise.
I didn't see that coming. I guess there were like hints of it earlier on, but I didn't think it would amount to anything.
Yeah, I was very curious as to how all of you would react to this part. Everybody was kind of like, Parahan, why are you flirting with Rose Thorn? That's Lark's girl. We see her getting it on with him.
Yeah, I like the fact that Briar's like, I also would be making eyes at him. So
What was
that's
that?
fair.
There was a term that he used, and I don't know. I didn't like
Yeah,
look it up.
I didn't either.
Hold
Was
on.
the term like, did
For
it
gay,
mean if he
maybe?
was gay?
Yeah, if he liked boys, like is that? It started with a D, I'm pretty sure.
It homosexual. That is what it translates to.
Ah, okay.
Damohi.
Like he's a very attractive man.
It's the, that's fair. If I was gay, that's fair.
That's interesting because I totally thought Briar was bi. I don't think anything in the books has confirmed it, but I feel like Pierce has implied it
Yeah.
in like interviews and stuff. Because I know that there's like a Tumblr post that she responded to where she said something like, Briar will sleep with anyone around his age who is consenting and does not specify female.
I could see that. It seems to be 90, as far as I remember, all female in
Yeah,
the
I don't
books.
think we've actually
But
seen him hook up with a man.
I want to say there's like a passing remark in Will of the Empress, but like I don't remember and I've read it twice.
I like very much the way it's phrased. I don't remember exactly how it's phrased, but it basically says that like once Briar got on to her about why are you sleeping with this other person? That's not my mom. And she was like, you mind your own business. And I always liked that little passage.
Only once had he questioned her right to choose sleeping partners as she wished. They had a nice talk about choices being between someone and that someone's lover, and there had been no more discussion. She only had to lightly slap the back of his head for foolishness once. Food, there's a mention of food, so that had to be highlighted. Because I, much like Brittany, have to highlight all of the food stuff. I smell sandalwood. I smell impudence.
That was so funny.
Oh,
My God.
good.
Yes.
I like that she's actively helping him when he makes this comment. It's just like, I fucking hate you. Dumbass kid. I don't want to tell Lark I lost you.
Oh,
Yeah.
that would be tough.
Yeah. Lark doesn't have the emotional attachment to Evie yet. I get why she said what she said, but also the fact that up to this point, Briar and Rose Thorn are the only one who have that emotional connection to Evie. Ooh, it's just march, march, maybe a squabble, healing, and then more marching. Why don't they just settle down and fight? Why should they when they can tire us out first? Yep. Which is an actual battle tactic.
Sun Tzu used that one, if I remember correctly.
Incredibly smart. When Briar runs off and Rose Thorn is praying for both the person she's trying to heal as well as Briar. I'm just like, yeah, that sounds right. The conversation or the remembering of Rose Thorn's dad, what a dick, first off, but also.
Yeah. Also, I mean, it kind of worked.
It also kind of worked. So, can't be too rough there. Him trying to demand Daja to remove the poker from his leg.
Was woozy.
Just makes me sad. Trying to yell at Daja. Which, I mean, fever does things to people's brains. The yak just coming out of the ground. Parahand threatening Briar. You know, drink this or I will use you as a sword practice.
He's had enough. Please.
Leave the boy alone. Only crazy luck had made him chop Briar's leg instead of something more important. Because, of course, that's what Briar is concerned about.
You know, when I read that, I was like, yeah, his neck or one of his arms. No, yeah. Mm. He did luck out.
The pain had been so bad that he fainted like some temple archive lily. That was my pitch for what to use as a catchphrase this week. And I will state that I think that is my favorite line from this chapter.
I had forgotten about that line until you said it.
Yeah.
Let's act like a temple lily.
Yep.
I really like Luvo telling Evie to not scream at the deep runners because they are not what you are used to. This is their country after all. It just made me think of like someone of a different race going to a different country and being like, whoa, that person's black. And it's like, they live here. You can't just say that. Or vice versa. Oh, that person's white. Why are they so white? First of all, you can't say that. Second of all, they live here. You can't be mad at them for living here. These weird bird horse things live here, and you can't just yell at them because they freak you out. You're the one interrupting them. Man, yeah, I was frankly surprised. It kind of makes sense, but like when Rose Thorn did sleep with someone else other than Lark, it makes sense for, I guess, a couple that travels a lot, since they kind of all have their own duties, either, you know, away from the temple or at the temple. They all, you know, travel. It makes sense. I did feel it kind of came out of left field a little bit, and I was like, damn. Kind of don't know how I feel about this. And we kind of get the you know, it's clarified that neither does Briar. It's just a thing, and it works for them, so that's great. Rose Thorn complaining about the lingering effects from touching the treasures and taking them to the Temple of the Sealed Eye, and Namka, one of the people there, told her that the effects that she was feeling after touching the treasures would wear off with time, but the problem was that his idea of time seemed to be very relaxed by her standards. Just funny. Yeah, Sun Tzu did write, whoever is first in the field awaits the coming of the enemy, and it will be fresh for the fight. Whoever is second has to hasten to battle and will arrive exhausted. Which is a much bigger deal when you have to fight hand-to-hand or with bows and arrows and like spears and swords. It's obvious that Yang Jing wants to tire them out before fighting, because that's a kind of a huge advantage, especially for battles involving, you know, people face to face. I really enjoyed this part, and it kind of made sense that it was this way, but when Rose Thorn sees Briar is injured and is coming in, And she's like, oh God, I need hot water. And then, like, already there's someone, like, she's obviously in the medical area where they're healing all of the warriors that have been injured. But, like, the people there were on it. Like, before she needed stuff, people were already pulling up to help and to get Briar taken care of. And it was very cool. It was like everyone was channeling their inner Jimut.
That's a t-shirt. Channel your inner Jimut.
I do want to touch on the quote about Rose Thorn and her freezing up and her father just like yelling at her, like, damn, that's traumatizing. You shouldn't do that to your kids, you know, obviously. But it does seem to be that the stuff that's like driven into you that way will stick with you, and you can pull good stuff out of the bad and make use of it. And that's, I thought that was a very interesting take on that. I like Luvo. Evie dreaming. Oh God, about her cats and stuff and dying, and she screams and stuff, and she wakes up and she scares the baby cave snakes away. Luvo has no clue she's talking about current trauma that she's trying to process. And he's like, why are you yelling at them? They're just little baby cave snakes. And she's just like, oh, they're dead. They're all bones. And he's like, no, they're made out of metal and earth. They can't be dead. Quit crying. Big Milk says you cry more than her babies. Damn, that's funny, but damn, it's incredibly depressing at the same time.
Luvo is not used to interacting with humans. He hasn't figured it out yet.
Not at all. He has.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, it's funny, but at the same time, it's like, he's a rock. He doesn't know better.
He
Poor Abby.
doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't get
Poor
it.
Abby.
But I also feel like this is the moment for us to point out that there are people out there who are rocks, even though they are humans, and don't get it.
True.
You're not physically hurt, you're fine.
You're the fucking leader of a military like force, and you're a giant commotion. You fucking run out, spear ready to stab some bad guy, and like the ground splits open. The biggest yak you've ever fucking seen ambles out carrying a child, and then it booms, and then just a giant voice going, do not attack us, defenders of Jiangxi. We are allies to you and foes to the invader from Yangjing. And yeah, I'd also be like, I got enough shit to worry. I got to worry about where the enemy's at. I got to worry about food. I got to worry about water. I got to worry about like the health of my people.
Now I gotta worry about
I got to
this.
worry about this. Yeah, what the fuck?
A yak just came out of the ground. What the
What am I supposed to do? No one wrote what to do in fucking officer school about a fucking magical giant yak
popping out of the
appearing.
ground.
So he's just like, eh, I need a, I wish I could just leave.
Everybody
I
seems
don't
just
want
like that yak. That did I actually see that? I don't know. Did I drink today and not know it? What's happening? Am I dreaming?
yeah,
This is crazy.
lots of questions that he's gonna have to figure out, as if fighting a war wasn't enough.
My favorite thing about all that is the yak just pops out of the ground and then just starts munching grass. Like normal
Immediately.
yak things. Like, wait, I see a yak. Did it just come out of the ground? I don't know, because it's not doing anything crazy. It's just eating. You're
It's
like,
just huge. Yeah.
it's really
Just
big and it's just
eating.
eating. Like, did I see
Probably
what I
not a
just
threat.
saw? I
Yeah.
don't know, because this yak isn't doing anything crazy other than coming out of the ground, but I don't know. I don't know.
I
It's not
particularly
tugging at
like.
me or trying to like stab me with anything. It's not doing anything super crazy, like
It's
walking
not
on two
standing up on
feet or
its hind
something.
legs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's doing normal yak things other than coming out of the ground. I don't know.
I really like the fact that in the recap, Goodwin used the word erupted
Erupted from the ground.
because that is the perfect description, in my opinion. That is how I picture this.
Ground shaking, everybody looking. What the fuck is that?
I like the part when Evie is riding on Big Milk and she's putting little braids all in her hair and she's tying them up with brightly colored threads from her clothes. So she's Big Milk's just got all these little braids all over with brightly colored strings on her that's tying the braids in there. It's so cute. Like, oh my goodness.
That was such an interesting, like, choice. I get it, because she needs something to do. She's also doing it to not be freaked out by all the other shit that's
exactly
down there.
But it's so cute. I'm just imagining Big Milk with all these little braids all over. It's so adorable. It's adorable.
Yeah, you know, I forgot to imagine the giant yak erupting from the ground, also covered in braids.
Yeah, also covered
and
in
ribbons.
Braids. Yes.
Even more questions.
I have a connection, especially for Brittany, Finnick in Mockingjay.
Mm-hmm.
Because he ties knots.
Yep.
That's right.
My next one is when Rose Thorn is coming out of Parahan's tent. She was thinking about their nights together. She's thinking to herself, his queen, whoever he chose one day would be a lucky woman. She sends a prayer up to Mila of the Fields and Grain that he would find someone who could appreciate him. That's so sweet. Like, aw, it's not me, but whoever it is going to be super lucky.
That is high praise.
That is high praise. She could send curses on him like, oh, he was terrible in bed. I hope whoever gets with him is going to be very sad. I like when Rose Thorn runs into Briar after her night with Parahan, and he just like smirks at her. It's a knowing smirk, basically letting her know, I know where you were last night. You ain't pulling nothing on me. I know. My next one is when Rose Thorn is getting on to Briar and was like, of course I didn't send my magic halfway to Yang Jing and try to fight a battle that way. He's like, complain, complain, complain. And she's like, no, caution, caution, caution.
Like it was described in the book, you can tell they've had this argument before.
Uh-huh. It made me really sad, but I really liked it when she was like thinking herself the loss of Briar would be so much worse if anything happened to him that she could have prevented. She didn't know how she would live with it. That's her boy. She loves him so much. Poor Rose Thorn. If she did ever lose him, oh my goodness. While reading this, it showed that Sodomini was okay. And I was like, oh no, she's okay. She's about to die. I don't like this. But she's okay for this chapter. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm scared.
She's going to be just fine, and she's going to live forever.
We'll see. I don't know. They had to go out of their way to be like, Sudamini was okay. She had no injuries. She had blood on her sword, but she was fine. But, I don't know. I'm scared. So we'll see.
Someone's got to die, right?
Well, I'm sure somebody's going to. We know that Rose Thorn, Evie, and Briar are okay because they're in the previous book, and that's after all this. So mm-hmm. We know that those three are okay. Somebody that we care about is going to die. People are going to die, obviously. Evie got piled onto a pile of dead bodies, so people did die. People that we are emotionally invested in, like the cats. The cats died.
Yeah. Surely that's enough pain for one book.
That's enough, but you know what? We got to do like Briar's book where halfway through Flick dies and we're like, okay, awesome. We got through the hard shit and then no, it wasn't. So, you know, we got the hard stuff of the cat dying. So now we need a twist of a knife and someone else that we really care about die. So hooray. I'm ready for that. That's going to be so exciting. That's going to be great. I'm so ready.
Yeah.
Day more very, day.
It's probably going to happen in like chapter 24.
Yeah. Yeah. Right at the end. So it'll hurt more. My next one was a dislike that Rose Thorn realizes the warrior that was brought back was Briar. So that was no bueno. Briar, why you go and do that, man? She wanted to chase after him when he left. And she's like, I can't, or people will die. So he's a man and on standards because he's 16. And so she's like, I can't chase after him. He's a grown man. He can make his own decisions. I can't be chasing him, even though I love him and I don't want him to. I either chase after this grown man or I heal people. And that's a tough choice. That sucks. My next one is like when she tells Briar, this will hurt, my lad, but not as much as you will hurt when I talk with you in the morning.
Ooh.
Ooh, Just you wait, Brian. You're gonna fucking get it.
Ethan's getting stabbed.
You think being stabbed in the leg hurts? You don't know shit yet.
Wait until I'm done with you.
Wait until I am done with you. I'm glad you're alive, but I'm gonna murder you.
Rose Thorn's going to heal him just so she can stab him all over
exactly,
again.
Exactly. Exactly. My next one is when, after they've done all the work on Briar, Rose Thorn's sitting to the side. And from time to time, she wiped away tears that ran down her face on her sleeve. She cares about him so much. And the thought of possibly have lost him, Evie first, and then if she would have lost Briar too, oh my goodness. That would have been just soul crushing. It would have been devastating.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then imagine Evie gets back only to find out that Briar's dead. It's like a Romeo and Juliet situation.
No, God, not the Romeo and Juliet. She's dead, but she's actually alive. Oh, I'll kill myself. Oh, no, he's dead. No, I, yeah.
My next one is when Luvo tells Evie, "It is my hope that you'll do better under an open sky. I believe you will dream less." And it's just really nice to see Luvo care about Evie so much already. I know that underground is freaking you out. So let's move up top so you dream less. So you don't freak out as much. My last one is when Parahan threatens Briar while Briar is still out of it. He's like, "Drink it or I'll use you for sword practice next time." And that Briar drinks it. But Parahan already cares a lot about Briar too, which is really sweet. It's going to be sad when he dies.
No, because it's not going to happen. Definitely not.
The first note on this page says, "I want to ride Big Milk!" Exclamation point.
Yes!
A back so broad you can sleep on her. Yeah. Yes,
that sounds amazing.
This is also a connection for Brittany. When Briar and Rosethorn are trying to make the decision of whether they should be healers or fighters, it reminded me of MASH. I mean, obviously they're primarily healers because they are doctors, but you have sort of similar conflicts in there.
I understood that reference.
We aren't what the generals order when they call for battle mages.
Nope, they sure aren't, but they can fuck some shit up, that's for sure.
Yep. This whole little section is fun. The part that I wrote down, the quote that I wrote down is, "He found humans mystifying, particularly the human need to take things from other humans and put an end to other humans' lives without the need to eat them." Which, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But on a slightly lighter note, earlier on the page, like the very opening sentence of this chapter, "Under the Namrunga, Evie lost track of time. It was hard to remember days without sunlight. Her companions did not help. One counted time in 1,000-year chunks, and the other didn't talk." You know what, Luvo? I also find humans mystifying sometimes. I'm going to quote one of my favorite quotes from a different book again.
Animorphs?
No, The Name of the Wind.
What?
It's the same quote that I know, right? I'm branching out.
Where's your Animorphs reference this week?
I don't know. I'm going to have to find one.
Oh,
I mean, I should have a lot of Animorphs references because Animorphs is literally about teenagers in a war. "When Briar awoke, he felt as if someone had used his head for a drum. I quoted this from The Name of the Wind in an earlier chapter, but I'm going to quote it again. I felt exactly like I had been hit in the head with a church." Briar says, "Why don't they just settle down and fight?" And then Rosethorn, who had been through a few large battles, didn't tell Briar she was just as happy to put off the next one. She knew he would think her spiritless. He was young. And I said that this reminds me, so I recently read Call the Midwife for a book club at school. I said that this reminds me of the story of Mary. Now I'm not sure what the connection is, but probably something about related to her being young. I don't know. I feel like the consequences of them being young are very different. So Sudamini is a badass, in case no one mentioned it yet.
Oh, yeah.
Bet she's going to die.
I wrote, "I want mushroom pancakes."
I don't know about that one, Chief.
I don't know. there's a place that I think I heard they have a food truck now. Maybe that's a different place. But there was a place in Eureka called Bombadil's that had biscuits with mushroom gravy. And it's one of the most delicious things I've eaten.
I could see maybe like a mushroom crepe or something, but not like not a pancake. I don't know.
If they made mushroom gravy, which is far superior to sausage gravy, I would trust them to make phenomenal mushroom pancakes.
I'm just saying, like, mushroom fritters are a thing.
I know scallion pancakes are good. Mushroom pancakes.
Well, you don't
it depends
like
on mushroom. Your definition of pancakes.
I don't like mushrooms.
I wasn't thinking like pancakes filled with mushrooms.
Yeah.
I was thinking like
a blueberry pancake, but with mushrooms instead of blueberries.
No, I was thinking of like pancakes made with like mushroom meal or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. And they'd be savory. But yeah, I think they'd be really good.
Yeah, I don't know if you
could make like flour out of mushrooms, but
essentially.
Let's dry them out.
Dry them out and grind them down.
Yeah. They make coffee out of mushrooms, so why wouldn't they?
They do.
So yeah, I'm thinking pancake made with mushroom meal. I think it'd be good.
As someone who likes coffee and likes mushrooms, I can tell you right now, mushroom coffee is awful. Don't drink it.
When Rosethorn is healing Briar, she added a thin line of the medicine that would hold the inner muscle of his thigh together like a line of stitches. Damn, those are some good meds.
Yeah.
And now I just want to talk about this scene for a second. This is one of my favorite scenes in the book, which sounds awful because I like hurt comfort tropes. Yeah, I enjoy this part. When Briar is stupid and then Rosethorn is like, yo, you're stupid, but also has to literally stitch him back together.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say, Marjorie and I were talking about this before you guys got on. We like this scene for different reasons. I like strong people in moments of weakness or mm-hmm. vulnerability, mm-hmm. which we see both of them going through.
Yeah. I told you guys that The Will of the Empress is my favorite and Battle Magic is my second favorite, but for superficial reasons. These are the superficial reasons. It pushes all my fangirl buttons.
There you
go. That's fair.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or message in the chapter. Suddenly, nearby, a Yanjingi warrior had lurched to his feet. "You," he cried in Tian. He was hardly more than Briar's own age. "You're one of their demon mages." He had stumbled forward, raising his sword as he fell. I originally wrote things we don't understand. I wrote again today before I looked back at my theme as we were talking. Things below the surface, which is very similar, because we literally have things below the surface, like Evie and all of the creatures that live in the mountains. But we also have things below the surface in the sense that what she's that Luvo doesn't understand what she's screaming about, because her pain is below the surface. It's not anything obvious. And then likewise, things we don't understand. Luvo doesn't totally understand what's going on with Evie. Briar is trying to understand what the weird light is out on the plains. And he and Rosethorn are kind of struggling to understand one another, or at least maybe not struggling, but they're trying to understand one another and maybe not always totally hitting it, because we have this whole thing with her sleeping with Parahan, and we also get the backstory of Briar having to come to an understanding about that, and then him leaving, and they don't always understand one another. There are also lots of languages being spoken. There's like also just literal probably people not understanding one another and needing interpreters. Yeah,
that was deep,
because it was below the surface.
That was a really good one, man. I guess I'll go, because mine was just preparation, because we see them preparing their seed bowls, like kind of understanding what the roles are going to be in the coming battles, whether to heal or to fight. We see like the entire medical tent situation where like Rosethorn needs all these things for Briar now, and everybody's just like on top of it. Everyone's prepped and ready for this.
Pressure, lots of pressure pushing down on you. Pushing down on me. All kinds of musical references today. There's a lot of pressure from Yingxing as far as like making them run around and come fight them rather than like standing. We see Rosethorn having to act under pressure and all of that. Yeah, I can't words today, so I'm gonna leave it there.
My theme is love and care. Luvo shows care for Evie whenever he's like, "Oh, you know what? I think we should take you back to the surface because you kind of are freaking out a little bit down here. So let's go to the surface because, you're freaking out too much. Even Big Milk says you cry too much. So let's go up there." And then Rosethorn caring for Briar when he gets injured, even though she wants to yell at him. She's still taking care of him, and she cries, and she's like, "I really care about him. I love him. It would be really sad if he died." So,
and as a parent, I feel like you can confirm, in a way, her wanting to yell at him is a form of her caring for him.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because like, you were this close to dying, and I'm so grateful that you're still alive, but I really want to hurt you, even though I'm so happy that you're alive. It's complicated emotions, for sure.
Part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. What magic were you able to craft out of this chapter?
So mine comes from the passage when Lark is hearing her father's ghost shout in her ear. Thanks, Dal, she thought as she stepped over to the cot. Yeah, everything that she's thinking about is traumatic, but she used the trauma in her life to create something positive out of her life instead of dwelling in that trauma and wallowing in the self-pity that the trauma can bring. She did something with it, made something out of her life instead of being like, you know what? I deserve to be a shitty person because I went through so much trauma and some bullshit. So my magic is the trauma that you experience should not make you a shitty person. Use that trauma as a way to grow. Trauma sucks, but it shouldn't be an excuse to be a shitty person. So.
Not to steal away from what you said, but you said, Lark.
Rose Thorn, whatever. You know who I mean? I was thinking about Lark.
In Brittany's defense, we are all thinking about Lark.
We are
Yeah,
always,
who isn't
always,
constantly thinking about Lark, frankly?
always, always.
God,
Rose
she's so
Thorn,
cool.
that's who I meant.
She is cool. Fight or heal once the serious battles start. You can't do both without half killing yourself. I'm trying to now think of a good way to phrase it. You need to pick your battles. Pick less battles. You have too many. Put some back. Save some for the rest of us.
Yeah, I want some battles.
Yeah.
Fire this too.
Sometimes you have to know which fights you can win and which fights you cannot win, whether that be with someone else or yourself.
My first one is when Briar's walking off and Rose Thorn's healing people, and she's thinking about going after him, but she kind of has to stay here, and she's like, well, he's 16 and he's old enough to make his own decisions. Sometimes you have to let people go.
Yeah.
We can't make decisions for them. Sometimes you got to make the decision for yourself instead. This is close to the beginning of the chapter when Evie is going through the tunnels. She managed to collect a few new stones from the walls and floor of the tunnel, teaching some to produce light or warmth if they had the capability for either. We all have different capabilities. Evie is able to get these stones and recognize, like, oh, you're a good stone for light. You're a good stone for warmth. You're a good stone for something else. Isn't necessarily like trying to force something that isn't well equipped to do it into something else. Just because one thing is not your forte doesn't make you like a bad person or whatever. We all have different capabilities. It's okay if you can't do something well. It's also okay to decide you want to be better, but it's okay to be like, you know what? This isn't what I do well. I do this other thing well and go do that. And remember that other people have different capabilities. So what you do well, maybe they don't do well, but they probably do something else well that maybe you don't do.
Reminds me of that Einstein. I think it's attributed to Einstein. If you give a fish a tree climbing test and they do bad at it, that doesn't mean they're dumb. It just means they're not good at the thing. Mine came from I think it was the same one that Indy was using. The fighter heal. Once a serious battle starts, you can't do both without half killing yourself. Most mages don't even try, Parahan said. Kind of cool in the book. Kind of disagree with it personally, mostly because of like specifically what I'm into. So I own firearms. I practice with them. I'm not gonna claim I'm any good because it takes like years and years of consistent practice, but I am more than competent. Like I have my concealed carry license. I'm okay. But that knowledge is nowhere near as useful as my first aid knowledge. Knowing how to plug a hole is much more useful, much more often than knowing how to make one. I carry first aid kits with me all the time now. One in my car, one in my backpack. Even when I travel, I always carry a full first aid kit. Like it doesn't, technically it's an IFAC, an individual first aid kit, but like it's a full trauma kit. But what I end up using literally at least like once or twice a month is like the medicine I carry in there, whether it be like something for like or Neosporin, Band-Aids, assorted meds that I might need. It is so useful to know first aid. And I think everyone should at least have an idea of how to do it. Knowing both of those things at once makes me a much more capable person. I think it feels really good. Clearly, I don't have Briar's limitation of having to rely on magic, but I like it. It feels good to be kind of prepared to do stuff.
like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 19 of Battle Magic. Evie's tale was a long one. The healers fed Briar and changed his bandage as she told it. By the time she was done, Parahan, Suda, Lango, and Jimut had come to listen, not having heard every detail. If he hadn't been clutching her arm most of the time, Briar would have thought it another mad dream, from her capture to her travels deep in the earth until they had found Seirugo's army. Seirugo had agreed to transport Evie and Luvo to Melunam, where they were supposed to join the troops led by Captain Lango and his companions. They would have done so, too, but their force had come across Yanjingi soldiers chasing 50 warriors led by Sudamini. Now the Gyeongshin and Realm's troops were joined, and Seirugo was in command. "If you're up to a wagon ride, we're close to Melunam," Rosethorn told Briar when Evie had finished. "You'll be more comfortable in a proper bed than here." "I don't need a wagon," Briar protested, swinging his legs to the side of his cot. "I can sit on a horse." He put his feet down and stood, or tried to. His thigh hurt so much that he bit the inside of his cheek until it bled. He sat down. "Wagon," Rosethorn said. Jimut nodded and left the tent. To save his self-respect, Briar looked at Luvo. "If you're a mountain, how did you get so small?" "Your manners are as dreadful as ever," Rosethorn murmured. She was measuring pain-killing medicine into a cup. "This part of me is the heart of the mountain, and much of its mind," Luvo explained, turning his head knob so he appeared to look at Briar with the pits that served as his eyes. "I do not think your manners are dreadful. I have only Evumeme to measure by. Never before did I believe that humans were worth the trouble to converse with, so I have no standard for their manners." "Evie also thinks we humans aren't worth the trouble to talk to." Briar looked at Rosethorn. "Rosethorn, I thought we agreed no more of that stuff." "We have to lift you into the wagon, my dear." "Oh, this was very bad." The cut must be deeper than he realized, if she was not blistering him for being rude to Luvo, or telling him to be silent and take his medicine. He watched while she dropped another liquid into the cup. "Don't worry," she said and smiled. "This will make it taste it so bad you won't care about the rest." Evie, sitting quietly by Luvo, actually giggled. Briar gulped the potion. It was even viler than Rosethorn had hinted it would be. He struggled until he was sure he wouldn't bring it back up again. As his head spun, he mumbled, "Rosethorn, take my seed bombs." "I already have," she told him as she beckoned to Jimut and another helper. They did their best to lift Briar gently, but he still screamed once before he fainted.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake it us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellows for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
Oh my god, how have we not made that reference yet?
Secret tunnel!
Secret tunnel!
Secret tunnel!
Secret tunnel!
Through the mountain!
Yeah, how have we not made it the entire time we've been doing this part?
Has like five chapters.
Yeah. Literally going through a secret tunnel.
Secret tunnel through the mountains.
You know who else went through a secret tunnel through the mountains? Rosethorn. There have been secret tunnels through the mountains for multiple chapters.
Yes.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.